Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Good to see you here. Welcome to Wilmslow Methodist Church for our worship this morning. We welcome our friends from Carr's Court and everyone who will be listening to this recording at some stage. And anyone who's visiting or here for the first time, please make yourselves known. Coffee will be served in the lounge after the service. A couple of notices, if I may draw your attention to the church anniversary, which has been brought forward to next Sunday. And there is a party after morning worship next Sunday. There will be a faith lunch and games and activities for all ages. There is a list on the table just out in the foyer if you would like to sign up to provide a food of some description. Now, Pat would like to thank everyone who has contributed to the Action for Children collecting boxes this year. The total sum raised was £355.27. And if you would like to support this charity, there are some empty boxes on the table in the foyer. Action for Children helps 370,000 babies, children and parents over the past year. Stopping abuse and neglect, providing safe and loving homes, providing nurseries and other forms of care for disabled children. And they are also an adoption and fostering agency, and it's a Methodist Church charity. So if anyone would be willing to keep a collection box in their homes to pop loose change in over the year, please contact Mrs. Bourne over here at some stage. Thank you. I think that's the end of our additional notices. We welcome Nick Harding to lead our worship this morning. And to begin our worship, the choir will sing the introit, "Be Still and Know That I Am God."
Welcome to you all this morning, and I mean a warm welcome. I've just come on my bike, and for about an hour I had a glimpse of John Wesley's life. I've never known such ice on the back roads. So all to you all, a warm welcome this morning. Our call to worship this morning: Lord, we come, called by name like the first disciples, eyes open to the miracles in your name, aware of the world, listening to others and searching for your living word, to be part of your creation, to live and to love, making your kingdom come. Amen. Our first hymn this morning, I picked a good one because you don't know it. So hopefully we'll have the choir humming the way through it, and we'll go through it once so you get an idea of the melody.
Thank you.
I don't know about you, but when I was growing up, adverts were a lot better. Can you think back? Not you younger ones, the older ones. Telly used to be in black and white for them. Or on the radio for some of them. But were the adverts better? Yes. Did they make more sense?
Yes.
Should we have a try? See if we can remember. What makes you work, rest and play? Mars bar. What's good for you? I thought you were good Methodists. But adverts used to be better, didn't they? I mean, what do we have today? Are you like me? Do you watch a program until the adverts come on and then switch over? And then watch that for a bit and then switch over again? So in about an hour's time, you've watched 6 different programs. You don't know any of them, but you've avoided the adverts. And when I do watch the adverts, have you seen them? Who gets a free pen?
Sun Life.
Sun Life, there we go. There you go. But it's parky, isn't it? It's all doom and gloom. Have you thought about your funeral costs? But it's like that, isn't it? Gone are the days where there was a challenge in the adverts. Do you remember? Bold, the doorstep challenge. Can you tell the difference between Bold and other washing powders? What about Pepsi and Coke? I've got a challenge for you this morning. Jaffa cakes. Do we have any experts on Jaffa cakes? No. So I'd like to find out if people can tell me the difference between Jaffa cakes. Which one's the real one? Go on. Do you want to bite into them?
I think they're the real one.
Oh, do you want to try one?
No.
Not poisoned? Any choice? Which are the real ones? No. Do you know my children that have eaten the plate by now? There won't be anything left. About grown-ups, anyone in the choir fancy a Jaffa cake? Which one's the real ones?
Oh, God,
you can't. Oh, no. You want to help yourself? Oh, you're very polite round here. But one hour story this morning. We're going to hear about Jesus, about his early work, things he did. For the people out there at the time, to prove that he was the real thing. He wasn't just another prophet. He wasn't just another voice crying out in the desert. Jesus was the real thing. And that is going to be the story for the church this morning. Looking at Jesus, how he advertises himself. So you thought that was a real thing. And we had other people who thought that was a real thing. Well, let's go and see. If you're listening on tape, there's a pile of Jaffa cakes that look darker, but the orange bits are a bit bigger. And there's another pile that look a bit lighter, but look a bit cheaper. So if you thought the cheaper ones, there you go, oldest cheapest. If you thought the darker chocolate ones were, they're oldie cheapest as well, just in a better box. So you couldn't tell what was the real thing, could you? But I'd also like to say that Jesus is like a Jaffa cake. Have you never thought about that? On the outside, he's human. He looks like a chocolate biscuit. When you look at that, you see a chocolate biscuit. But when you break it open, there's that secret in the middle, isn't there? There's that Jaffery bit in the middle, makes him sound nice. This was a mistake. And Jesus is like that. On the outside, the people saw that he was human. The people in those days saw him as a carpenter's son. And it was up to him to prove he was a prophet. But all the time on the inside, there he was. The orangey bit, the Son of God. So if you see people ask you what Jesus is like, tell them Jesus is like a Jaffa cake. Chocolate biscuits on the outside, but if you look inside, there's the secret God in the middle. That was definitely a mistake. They're both nice, by the way. Shall we turn to God and say our prayers together? Take our prayers to God. Let us pray. Creator God, help us to glimpse your presence in the world around us, in the beauty and size of nature, from the size of the universe to the smallest particle. Let us find you in the bustle of town and city, from the people we love to people we meet in the street. In the routine of the work, let us find you there, learning in our play, in our leisure. There you are, we find you once again. You're there in our special moments, those special times or unforgettable meetings, where others look and see nothing. Help us glimpse you in your glory, a sight beneath the surface, and there you are, Jesus in the Jaffa cake. Open our hearts and our eyes so that we see you, we feel your presence in our lives, so that we can look beyond normal and see the divine, a little glimpse of God. Let us look beyond the day today and see your kingdom, the glory that is promised. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And can we have our collection, please? Heavenly Father, we bring your gifts to you, building bit by bit the kingdom of God through our generous donations, through our time, through our hard work, so that one day your kingdom may come. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Shall we sing again? This time I hope you know this one. It's 519. Father, I place into your hands.
Thank you.
just before we have reading, should we say a prayer? Lord, we go to love, to live. Bless us so that we all learn in the shadow of your face. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
The Gospel reading is Mark chapter 1, beginning to read at verse 29. As soon as they left the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told him about her at once. He came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. Then the fever left her, and she began to serve them. That evening at sunset, they brought to him all who were sick or possessed with demons, and the whole city was gathered around the door. And he cured many who were sick with various diseases, and cast out many demons. And he would not permit the demons to speak, because they knew him. In the morning, while it was still very dark, he got up and went out to a deserted place, and there he prayed. And Simon and his companions hunted for him. When they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is searching for you." He answered, "Let us go on to the neighboring towns, so that I may proclaim the message there also, for that is what I came out to do." And he went throughout Galilee, proclaiming the message in their synagogues and casting out demons.
So we're hearing about those early days of Christ's initial ministry. How the word goes out, how the word spreads, that this man is special. This man is more than a prophet. This is the Messiah that is promised. Should we turn to the Lord in prayer again and say our prayers of confession together? Let us pray. Dear Lord, we turn to you this morning to bring our confessions, the times we have not lived up to your calling, those times we have failed on the path of discipleship, when we were overwhelmed in our lives, those times we gave up, or those times we took the easy path. Forgive us our narrowness of faith, our self-imposed limits. Forgive us our failure to love, our failure to worship or serve to our fullest extent. Forgive us for seeking to keep our faith personal, our faith being our private possession, like our keys, our phone or our purse. Forgive us that we listen with joy to your words of love, but close our ears to the commands to go and tell. Forgive us for trying to live our faith in secret, a silent community, when we quietly ignore the needs of the world, and we aren't a good neighbour. Forgive us when we see others afraid, lonely, defeated and broken. Yet we keep the message of love to ourselves. We do not do the right thing. Forgive us when we see you and fail to shout out. Forgive us our timidity, our fear, our indifference. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, that we may have courage to be your disciples in this world and not just behind closed doors. Give us the love to seek your presence in the friendship and fellowship of others, but most of all have confidence in your eternal forgiveness, the blessing of reconciliation. You have bought by the sacrifice of our Son that oneness, that forgiveness. You give us a chance that all may be saved, so all may have the chance to be saved. We thank you for letting us know you as Lord and Creator. make us whole once again. Through Christ, the Saviour of the whole world. Amen. And we shall now say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for now and forever. Amen. Can we have your second reading, please?
Our Old Testament reading is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 40, reading from verse 21. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them like a tent to live in, who brings princes to naught and makes the rulers of the earth as nothing. Scarcely are they planted, scarcely sown, scarcely has their stem taken root in the earth, when he blows upon them and they wither. And the tempest carries them off like stubble. To whom then will you compare me? Or who is my equal, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high and see. Who created these? He who brings out their host and numbers them, calling them all by name, because he is great in strength, mighty in power, not one is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel? My way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint and strengthens the powerless. Even youths will faint and be weary, and the young will fall exhausted. But those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Thanks be to God for his word.
Before we go on, a short reflection on that passage. His ways are unknowable. He will walk with us. The more someone advances in the Christian faith, the more they live in the presence of God as an absence. And then the more they accept that the idea of becoming aware of God is wrong. Because fathoming God is really unfathomable. I'll get that in the end. Did that make any sense? Let's put it another way. The more we try to know God, the more we realise God is unknowable. So once you accept that, the actual feeling, the presence of God, suddenly gains value. If we accept that God allows us to feel the divine presence. Mystics on a journey often go on long and complex pilgrimages, but then they only come to understand God through absence, or God's perceived absence. So what about us? We have to learn to live our lives looking for God's presence. To be aware to open our eyes for that moment when God walks with us. When we meet God, we learn from the experience. We learn not just to seek God, but to have an active relationship with her. For God always precedes us. We only ever see God from behind. God walks ahead of us, and it is up to us to follow. When we work that out, we know where to go. That God is before us, and it is for us to see and walk in her steps. As we mature in faith, we need to learn to follow without direction, to walk God's path without her presence and guidance, so that we know that when we do see God in our daily lives, it is because we have gone wrong. God's presence is for when we have got lost, and we need to be led back to the fold or to the path. So as I said at first, as we advance in Christian faith, we learn to live in God's absence. Because when God is present in our lives, we are the little lambs, lost and confused. Amen. Shall we sing again? Father, hear the prayer we offer. Before I start my sermon, can you all hear me still? Because I've let somebody else in control of the volume, so. I did that at Altringham the other day and they nodded off. So when it came to the end of the sermon, they just carried on, they forgot to mute it. But you're probably asking, why did I pick that reading from Isaiah? It makes very little sense. It is the lectionary for today, so that's one of the reasons I chose it. But I also know that that section is a song, a hymn, a carol. It has something of a resonance within me. Because where I grew up in Sheffield, long before I was born, there was a schism within the church. In the hills and the valleys west of Sheffield, in the Pennines, it came to a head. They were sick and tired of not being able to sing carols at Christmas. This is the late 18th century. They went to the vicar, or several vicars, and said, we have to sing carols at Christmas through Advent. And they said no. So for every Advent since then, the locals don't go to church in Advent. They go to the pubs and they sing carols. So growing up in Sheffield, if you want to go somewhere good on Advent, you go to the pub. But you sing carols like nobody else sings. Because you haven't got the old Victorian carols that we all know and love. Oh, little town of Bethlehem, once in royal. You've got the old carols. Most of them have died out. Well, I say died out. You know Wild Shepherds. I can sing that to about 10 different tunes. But there they are. Every year. The pubs are full. And everyone has their own little versions of all the songs in antique little books that are folded up. Or photostated copies from 60 years ago. You can tell the newcomers, the hipsters who were there, because they have brand new copies of hymn books. But what we heard was one of those carols. Because over the years, the carols that we've sung have changed. And that one has entered the repertoire. We will fly in wings of eagles. We will be lifted up. We will walk and never grow weary. We will walk and be free. And that carol came to us from the Americas. It's an interloper. Yes, there are a few modern carols that we sing. But that came across from the plantations of the New World. It came across when the Great Cotton Famine was here. And people around here should know about the Great Cotton Famine, don't you? Because of Stile Mill in the valley. In the 1820s, when Manchester stood with the North of America. And hardship came, and the mills stopped because there was no cotton to be had. But there was hope. And that's one of the reasons the church in Stile grew and was formed. Because people were banding together for support, to help each other. And from the New World, with the lack of cotton, came this song. It was being sung by slaves. Slaves that had been freed, but weren't yet free. Because they were buying out their indenture. Some took 20 years to be free. And they were singing this song of hope. They were hoping and waiting for a better world. They wanted to be lifted up on wings of eagles. They wanted to walk and be free. It's a song of hope and rebellion. I was going to get you lot to sing it, but I know how reticent you are with new songs. But it's a message of hope. A message of hope for the future. And that's what Jesus was doing in our message from Mark. He was bringing hope to the Jews of Capernaum. He was bringing healing. He was driving out demons. He was advertising himself. He was going round and showing them what the Messiah could do. And it was a multi-stage process, wasn't it? We hear Jesus is the son of a carpenter. And there is that message in the Bible of where he preaches at home and says, isn't this Jesus the son of a carpenter? And then the next level, they had to see Jesus as a prophet. Not just a normal Jew. Not just a normal person. The things that Jesus had was to highlight their vision. To advertise himself as a prophet. To show them that he was coming. And then a third stage. To those Jews that wanted hope. Because they were there, being held down by the Romans. They were there, no longer able to use their own coinage. Speaking Latin when they needed to. They were hoping for a Messiah. And Jesus was there, trying to show them that he was the Messiah. Show them, but not tell them. In another version of the reading, it says, he told the demons to be quiet and not to name his name. Because he was doing more than showing he was a prophet. He was trying to show them that he was a Messiah. He was the promised one, without telling them. Because sometimes when you tell somebody something, they don't believe you. It's very easy to say, I am the Messiah. and many were saying it at that time, like the Jaffa cakes. No one knew who was the true Messiah. It was very easy to say, I am the promised one. But Jesus was doing it differently. He was showing them that he was the promised one. So it was Christ. He was helping them find strength in a troubling situation. Likewise, David is telling us through Isaiah 40 that there is help for us in trying situations. When all else loses their strength, you will have strength too. That where there is a situation, you will pull through. That Christ is hope in times of trouble. And we all know that, don't we? Christ is with us in our times of trouble and conflict. So how much harder is it for us to lead people to Christ in our modern world? Despite what we may think, our modern world is so much simpler, so much easier than times past. I heard somebody at work saying the other day, have you got any problems? They said, yes. I've got a soiree coming up and I don't know whether to serve black or green olives. If that's their only trouble, how are they going to find Christ in their times of trouble? Because the world is a better place. Yes, we have our problems. Yes, poverty is creeping back in. But let me think how far the kingdom of God has come in the last 100 years, in the last 200 years. We have a proper health service. We have justice, a proper justice system. The corruption is nearly wheeled out. But we don't send people to jail for stealing a loaf. We don't send children to jail for stealing to feed themselves. We have come so far, building a kingdom of God. But in the same time, we've made it easier for people. And that is the right thing. But how hard it is for us today to show people Christ. Because they do not have those issues. They do not struggle as people before have struggled. And when we talk to people, they don't have the time or inclination to find Christ. They're not driven to find Christ like people before them. But the other problem is we do not speak in concepts that they understand. We do not speak words that they understand. They do not speak the same language that we speak. They do not think of love. To give you an example of differences in language, the other day my daughter was sad at school all day. She sat there and moped. And when we asked her what was wrong at the end of the day, she said her imaginary goldfish had died. That made me sad as well. So I bought her another imaginary goldfish. I got the little plastic bag and filled it full of water, and there she had it. But you laugh at that. But the people outside who don't know us, what are you doing for Easter? Well, I'll be celebrating the church. Ah, so you'd be celebrating with your imaginary friend. It's exactly the same words, isn't it? They don't understand what we do. They don't understand our language. We haven't advertised enough. So I ask you, how do we introduce Christ to people? How do we go out and tell people about Christ? Do we tell them about the carpenter? The son of a carpenter? Do we tell them about Jesus the prophet? Or do we tell them about the Messiah? And on that question hangs the 21st century for the church. How do we church the unchurched? It's a difficult question, isn't it? How do we advertise ourselves? And if I knew that, they'd be coming through the aisles. I asked the same question last week in Brownlee Green, and they didn't know either. There's things they're trying, but the main thing they said was they want to advertise. They want to do what they do best, and they want to advertise the fact that they do what they do best. Because for years we've run so many things as churches, haven't we? We have been social groups, we've been caring groups, we've been support groups, we've run worship, we've run childcare. But what we haven't done is advertise ourselves properly. We haven't done what Jesus did. Think about Mark's reading. Jesus was in a house and all the town was at the door. When was the last time we can say that about our church? So I say to you this morning, what we need to do is to advertise, not to hide behind the pulpit, but to go out there and do what we do in the public eye, showing ourselves to people so they can see what we do. Go back to those basic building blocks of the kingdom of God. Not to go to fresh expressions of church, but rather evaluate what our core values are, what we do the best, and then we do it. And you're doing a very good job here. But how do we advertise? How do we advertise all the good things that we do? How do we go out into the world and show people, like Jesus did, that we are a place of discipleship, that we are a place where people come to learn and to think and to evaluate what the world actually means, that we're going back to being social centres, safe social centres within our communities, not places where people don't go, that we're going back to being a family and advertising it. That was Christ's message. The kingdom of God is like this. And only by finding common ground, a safe place to speak to the people outside, words that both of us understand, do we speak to those who have never heard. That only by speaking in words the people outside understand, in adverts, in publicity, in showing ourselves, that gracious invitation, do we actually talk to the world about Jesus? And that is our challenge for the 21st century. To make our churches have transparent walls. To make our churches places that are outside as well as inside. To do as Jesus did. To go out and go to the next village and the next village. To spread the word bit by bit. To show people outside what truly is the kingdom of God. Amen. Shall we sing again? Number 414. God forgave my sins in Jesus' name. Shall we turn to the Lord for our final prayer? Prayers of intercession. Let us pray. I want you to think of a chain, a solid metal chain with solid links. Think of a chain binding us all together in love, chains of love, chains of connectivity, because everything we do affects others, and these chains tie us all together. If we pull others, others will feel our tug, for good or for ill. Some chains are obvious, binding us to our friends and our family, while others are invisible, stretching around the globe, affected by our choices in daily life. Each of us has so many chains, so many links, so many connections. Yet only God looking down knows each and every strand, every connection. Only God can really pull in the correct way to make the world move in the right direction. So this morning we turn in prayer to the world and ask for aid and to put things right. And we pray for ourselves, often with doubt. We struggle under our burdens, but we keep on going. We love to our greatest extent, but still worry that we could love more. Guide us, Father, as we go through life, as we meet with our family and friends, those closest with us, and we pray for them. Sometimes it's hard to love our family, but we still persevere. These are the people that we know best, people in our hearts and minds constantly. We know their needs and we pray for them, for their ill health, for the lack of direction. Let us be true friends for our friends and family. Those links move out into the community. We're bound into our community in ways unimaginable. The people we meet in the street, the shops, the people in our parks, our police, our fire. This is our community. It struggles in so many ways. We think about people who struggle with ill health, lack of money and food, lack of direction in the community. We pray for those who feel antisocial, that they don't belong. Help them to be included in our communities, to feel they have a place. Strengthen our community and make it grow. And we expand those chains to our sisters and brothers in Christ in the circuit. Circuit that struggles but keeps going on. Last week at Brownlee Green they asked us to pray for Living Waters. Guidance in the coming year. For vision. And at Brownlee Green they asked us to pray for Mum's Mart. A chance for mums to trade and help each other as their children grow. They asked us to pray for Hegan's sabbatical. May he come back refreshed and renewed. They asked us to pray for Dave Warnock when he arrives in the autumn, that he doesn't overextend himself and that he's comfortable with the five churches. Most of all, they asked to pray for the heating. It was cold last week. It was warmer when he walked out of church. But they were such a loving, it was warm. And extend our chains out into the world as we pray for our brothers and sisters in different continents. There are so many struggles in the world, so many places of conflict, yet you're there in each of them. And in a moment of silence, let us name those that are specific to ourselves. Lord, we are bound by many chains, so many places, so many people. Give us strength to keep going, but act in all places that need your aid. We ask this through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Shall we sing again? Our final hymn, number 350. I cannot tell why him whom angels worship.
Thank you.
Lord, we go into the world, a link in your great plan. Give us patience to wait for your resolution, perseverance in tough times and smooth, grace to accept your decisions, and strength to keep walking with you through all our days. Amen.